Thank you. All right. So you guys going to start the first slide, or should I do that? Great, thank you. All right, the title today is Knowing God as Our Father. And what I would like to talk about is getting to know him not just in our minds as Father, not just as a fact, but as the song that we just sang. And thank the musical group for learning that new song and playing it for us, Good, Good Father by Chris Tomlin. In that song, there are many lines that I think really show Chris's understanding, or the people who wrote the song, but he sang it, of God as a father, a real father, a personal relationship. When he said, tender whispers of love in the dead of night, those are the types of things that we talk about with our closest relationships, that we can talk to each other when things are quiet and things sometimes are difficult and we're searching for answers, that God is there for us during those times. Who you are, it's who you are. God wants to be known as this Father. And our worth should mainly come from who we are, and that's that we're loved by him. And he is perfect in all of his ways. And I love the part that says, a love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. And then my favorite is, and you call me deeper still. God is never ending his love for us or his desire to show us new things and to open us up to himself. So let's just start off in prayer. Lord, I know that knowing you as Father is not an easy task, especially for those of us who've had fathers who have not been perfect, and maybe even some of them that have been hard on us. Lord, so I pray that we would be able to get over that, and we would be able to today, for those who don't know you at all, that they would come to know you as Father. For those who have been in the shadows because of so many disappointments and so many pains and hurts in their life, that they would have the courage to step out. And for those who have been obedient and have been walking with you and doing all the things that they should, but they've lost their joy, I pray for those too, Lord, that they would enter again into a joyous relationship with you as Father. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Okay. So, this is our theme verse. And it's in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. This is my goal, that by the end of today, that you will be a little bit more excited about this verse. And that even if you're not a little bit more excited, you'll feel in your heart a desire to want to be a little bit more excited about this verse. And, you know, when I was looking over this verse, there was really some great little things about it. Like where it says, what great love. This is the NIV version. And in the original Greek, it talks about what manner of love. And it's like you can't even describe it. You can't even describe what manner of love could it possibly be that the God of the whole universe would call us his children. It's something that we just should get really excited about and really overwhelmed by. And then it talks about, I love the way the NIV translates this. It's what the Father has lavished on us. In the Greek, it's bestowed. I like that word lavish because God always acts like that. Whenever God gives you something, he always gives you more. You know, like if your bill is $10.99, you know, God pays it with a $50 bill. You know, he doesn't pay it with just $11. God lavishes onto us everything that he gives us. And, you know, he could have saved us and made us just subjects for eternity in heaven, and we would have been very grateful for that. But he did more than that. He made us more than just subjects. He made us his very own children. And so it's just something that hopefully by the end of 20 minutes or so, that you will understand that a little bit more and be excited about it a little bit more and be blessed by it a little bit more. Okay, this is our outline for today. I just want to first go over a little bit of background about, in the world, how people view God and this whole idea of Father. And then we'll see about Jesus Christ, who he is, and one of the things that he came to the earth to reveal about God, the Father, and how we should be in awe about this, but a lot of us are not, including myself at times, and we need God's help to help us to be in awe. And then we can talk about some of the things that we can do and some of the things that God will do when we step out in obedience. And then finally, the final thoughts, and that will include repentance, faith, and glory. Seems like a lot, but it's really not. Okay, let's see. The background. You know, most major religions of the world do not see God as a father. Some of them see him as an impersonal force. Some of them see him as a creator God. Some of them see him as a judge. But very few see God as father. Even in the Old Testament, God is referred to as father about 15 times, but it's usually as sort of a patriarch. You know, God is there to be one who provides, instructs, has compassion, but it's very rare in the Old Testament that someone, an individual, is referring to God as their father. So we take this as kind of a, you know, a light thing to be able to say God is our father, but it's something that's pretty new. And in the New Testament, the reason that we can do this is because of the Trinity. You know, from all eternity, God existed as a father. And that's the metaphor that he likes to use, loving his son, Jesus. And from all eternity, Jesus existed as a son, loving his father. And from all eternity, the Father and Son existed loving the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit loving them back. And God was perfect and is perfect in this harmony. He is God. He is God with three personalities, three centers of consciousness. And for all eternity, he was a God of love. No other religion can really say that, because in other religions, he had no one to love. And he actually had to create creation in order for his own justification and for his own, you know, wanting to have, you know, people to, in order to give him glory and to worship him. But in Christianity, it's different. God had no need for any of us. He created us because he loves us. He created us because he wants you to experience for all eternity him as your loving, intimate father. And that's only something that Christianity really provides. And the reason that it can provide it is because of our understanding of God as a Trinity. So these theological concepts sometimes that we say, I don't really understand that, they're really important to help us to live the life that God wants us to live. Okay. Jesus Christ, who he is. Well, in Hebrews, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So when the Father sent the Son to the earth, he wasn't just sending an angel. He was sending himself. And he wanted us to listen to what his Son had to say. And this is who the Son is. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's something that we should really dwell on a lot. This week I was reading in Isaiah 52, 53, 54, you know, just all about the suffering servant. You know, to get an idea again and again, to read it from a different perspective sometimes than just from the Gospels. What Jesus did for each one of us, how much he loves us, his willingness to come to this earth, to become a man, and to die on a cross, to reconcile us to God, and to reconcile us into the closest relationship we could possibly have, to be his children. Okay, and then in the Gospels, it talks about 165 times, just in the Gospels alone. Remember, in the Old Testament, it was like, 12, 15? In the Gospels, 165 times, God is referred to as Father. And then, because of that, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And he started off in Matthew 6, 9. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's amazing that God wants us to call him Father. He wants us to relate to him as Father. It's really a foundation of our Christian life. It should produce in us this, what we started with in 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Well, sometimes it's not only the world that doesn't know us. We don't know ourselves. We don't know that we are really children of God. And in order to really know that, we need the Holy Spirit. There's no way around it. Your mind alone, your coming to just listen to what I have to say or what others have to say week after week, all of your reading, it will never give you what you really need to know. But the Holy Spirit is able to do that. Because flesh and blood cannot understand the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We need the Holy Spirit. O God, reveal to me that you are my Father. Open my eyes that I would see what a glorious thing that you have made me your child. There is nothing more powerful, nothing more of worth than what Jesus accomplished in making us his Father's child, children. So in doing this, even though we have the need of the Holy Spirit, and we always do, there are still things that we can do. We can fill our mind with the truth. We can practice what we believe. We can pray. These are all things that we can do and that we should do. Even though it's all up to God, God still makes it so that we have a part to do. It's one of those mysteries. And this is what it says in Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, so thinking about Jesus' death and how his death not only paid for my sins, but lavishly paid for my sins. He paid more than enough for my sins and for the sins of the world. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, the word of God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So there's stuff that we can do. If we want to come into this awareness of God being our Father, if we want to come into the glory of being able to live our lives in service to him and experience his presence, there are things that we can do. Even though it is by the Spirit, we need to have faith. We need to ask God to give us that faith. We need to walk out. We need to be confident and need to go to God in that faith and talk to him and ask him for things and tell him how we're feeling. And when we do that, God will start to increase in our life the fruit of the Spirit. You'll start to experience more love in your life, your joy, more peace, more forbearance, more kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. As we draw near to God, as was said earlier, he will draw near to us, and he will reward us with the fruit of the Spirit. Are you feeling dry right now? Are you feeling maybe lack of joy? You know, it doesn't change. These principles will be in effect until we all stand before God. We all have our part to do. We all have a part of obedience to love God and to love our neighbor, to read the word, to pray, to fellowship, to think about him, and to be thankful to him. And as we do those things, God will open us up and pour his Spirit into us more and more in tangible ways. And these fruits of the Spirit are very tangible. So these are some final thoughts. You know, like I said, this doesn't change how we are to act and how we are to live. In preparing for this sermon, you know, I don't give a lot of sermons. You know, we work mainly in at the universities and doing Bible studies and things like that. But this is a mighty responsibility when I'm asked to do this, because I know that I'm speaking for God to you. And there are many things in my life that are not right. And I feel that in these last 2 weeks, I've had to repent a number of times. And the devil has been, you know, at me. I got into an argument with my wife, and I was yelling at her. And I haven't done that in a while, you know. And God just showed me, you need to repent. If you're going to tell others that they need to repent, you better repent yourself. And that's one of the ways, and that will never end until we stand before God. And he takes every sin away in our life. And he cleanses us so that we won't even have a desire to sin. But until that day, our flesh is a mighty force in our life. The sinful patterns that we have learned, you know, come up. And we need to be willing to repent, because we want more of God. We want to know him as Father. And we want to walk in the power of his Spirit. If we claim to be without sin, those are for us, for those of you today are here that are not saved, that don't know God. If you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Even if you're a Christian, you sin. You don't have to, but I don't know anyone who doesn't, including myself. So part of the thing that we need to be willing to do is to repent. The Puritans used to say, keep short accounts with God. okay. This is something that, again, that God does as we repent, as we walk with him. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So this is a great promise that God, as you repent, as you walk with him, as you think about him, as you think about what Jesus did, the sacrifice that he made for you, as you desire to live a life of love, loving God and loving others, God will reward you by transforming you into his very presence. If you're not feeling that you're being transformed, then you need to go to God and say, Lord, I want more of you. I want to know you as my Father. Lord, help me. Help me to do the things that I need to do and to be confident that you will do the things that you have promised. Our God is a good, good Father, and he wants to give you an awareness of who he is and who you are, that you are loved by him totally, completely, unconditionally. You are loved by him. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God wants to give you that glory, that taste of that glory, to be his sons and his daughters. So I ask you today to try to get excited about this. And it's okay if you're not, but don't just push it off. If you're not, go home sometime today, tomorrow, get before God and say, Lord, that guy was talking about, is that true? Are you really my Father? Do you really love me? I don't feel that love. Lord, help me to feel that love. Help me to do the things that I need to do, and help me to trust that you will do the things that you will do. So right now, I know that there are people in this assembly that know God as their Father. So I'm going to ask you to be bold. And if you know God as your Father, it doesn't have to be perfectly, please stand up. All right, remain standing. If you don't know God as your Father, and you would like to, ask one of these people standing here to help you after I pray. Lord God, there are people here today that don't know you as Father. And I ask, Lord, that they would be bold enough and confident enough to ask one of those people standing to inform them and to help them and to love them so that they too could know you as Father. And if no one asks you today, ask God to give you somebody out in your community that needs to know God as their Father. They might be in your family. They might be at your work or at your school or in your neighborhood. But there, I guarantee you, are people out there that desperately need to know God as their Father. And you know him as Father. And God wants you to extend that love like he extended the love from his Trinity out to us. Now we are to extend the love by the power of the Spirit out to others. So Lord, I ask you this in Jesus' name. I ask you to fill everyone here today with great joy, great expectation in you, a love for each other and a love for you, our Father. Amen.